When did your fiddle feather thing happen?
Okay, well, as I recall, it was October 31st, 1991. What happened that day, of course, it was Halloween.
Oh. So what job were you, what were you working for?
Okay, I was driving truck with a grocery company called Gateway Foods. Okay, that was the day of the storm of the century. And I left to work that morning at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't recall if it was snowing then or not. But you know, this is where we live and it does snow quite regularly. But, so if it was snowing, it didn't really stand out in my mind that early in the morning. But I will say that by the time I got to the grocery store in Danbury, I'd gone and gotten my truck, of course, in Superior, and drove down to Danbury. By then, in Danbury, it had been snowing for a while.
And what time would you say that was?
6 o'clock in the morning. And when I got down there, the snow was already a little bit more than a foot deep. We'll just say about a foot deep. And it was a wet, heavy snow because it was the earliest, or I should say it was an early snow. And usually your earlier snows are wet and heavy. The ground is still warm, so underneath is warm and that's kind of melting the snow and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, I drove into the parking lot, and because I had good momentum, I was able to drive through the parking lot and make my kind of half circle to line up my back door of my trailer with their door on the store. Well, by that time, I'm probably 75 feet to 100 feet away from the store because we need to make this half circle and get a straight line to back into their door. Well, I did that fine because I had, like I said, I had good momentum to make it through that parking lot. But because of the heavy, wet snow, when I put it into reverse and tried to back up, I couldn't move very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually stuck at my first store.
So they hadn't been plowing?
Correct. But the owner of the store, the manager of the store, just happened to have his plow on his pickup truck, his personal pickup. And normally he wouldn't plow the store. But because we were stuck, and he had the plow, of course he plowed it open. And so I would have made the delivery there. I had, let's see, two more stores to deliver after that. I had Webster, and then I had Luck. Well, by the time I got done with my store in Danbury, the telephone was ringing in the back room. Well, it was my dispatcher telling me not to go to Minneapolis for my backhaul, which normally I would do after I got done with Luck, Wisconsin. Okay, so anyway, and the funny thing of it was, I was going to call him maybe later in the day to let him know I didn't know how this thing was going to go. It was quite a storm. By that time, it had been a lot of blowing quite a bit and snowing real hard.
So, was there like hard driving conditions? Could you see clearly?
Up to that point, it was snowing good and hard, but up to that point, I was okay to drive. But the snow was really coming down. And by the time I got done with Luck, I was glad to be thinking about going home. So, but when I left there, I went up to Siren, Wisconsin, which is where, at that point, I was thinking, now, do I continue on Wisconsin 35, which is a small two-lane road, or should I cross over into Minnesota and use the big interstate 35 to take home? And I thought, probably that would be a better idea. So I left Siren, Wisconsin, to head west over into Minnesota through Grantsburg and out that way. Well, that might have been a mistake. because when I was driving westerly, when I got out into this open kind of farm country, the wind was coming out of the south so hard that the snow was more going sideways across my windshield than it was coming straight down. And there was a point where I was stopped where I could barely see. I mean, I just stopped the truck. But in front of me, it was drifting so bad because of a big farm field.
Yeah.
No trees around. That there was a row of traffic in front of me, and everybody stopped wondering what to do to get through this drift. And this drifting was, well, you couldn't see where it ended. And at that point, there was only one lane of traffic. And there was traffic coming our way, and every so often a car would leave, and you'd just crash your fingers hoping that they made it to the other end.
Mm.
Well, at this point, too, I had a concern, because a truck without any weight on it will get stuck easier. When you're loaded, you have extra traction. Your tires will claw through and dig into the down into the pavement, even though there's a lot of snow. Well, I didn't have that advantage anymore now. I was empty. And that wind was blowing so bad that my trailer would lean, and I could feel that inside the cab, shaking the cab. I pretty much made up my mind, well, this is going to be it. I'm probably going to sleep here. In 2 or 3 days from now, we'll get this all figured out. Because I can remember a storm back in the late 70s where I was out east in Ohio, and there was a man that slept in his truck for 6 days before they discovered him.
Wow. That's a lot.
So I was thinking history's going to repeat itself, and I'm going to be the man in the truck. Well, anyway, as time went on, it did so happen that people were making it through one at a time through this, like I say, this heavy drifting.
How deep do you think the drift was?
Oh, probably at least as deep as a stove. I don't know, 3.5 feet maybe.
And how would anybody drive through it?
Well, with some speed, you'd kind of plow through and you'd make a path. And like I say, that pathway at this point was down to one lane.
Mm-hmm.
So when you took off, you were hoping nobody was coming your way.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I made it through. And I did finally make it over across to Minnesota and get on the Interstate 35. Well, the interesting thing of it is that once I got on that freeway, even there, we weren't driving too fast. I did find other vehicles still trying to travel. There were other trucks. I had my CB radio on, and I was talking with these other drivers. And before I got back up to Duluth Superior area, it had gotten dark.
Now, do you remember any of, like, the reactions of the other drivers when you talked to them?
No, we were all in the same predicament.
Yeah.
We knew that, you know, as long as we could see and as long as we could move, we were all of a mindset we were going to try to get home. So, that's kind of basically where we were at. Well, I made it up to Duluth. And, you know, it's Highway 2 that comes across. That's the newer bridge, not the Bong Bridge. Or is it? Yeah, the Bong Bridge, the Highway 2 bridge. When I got to that bridge, I could see either the drifting was so bad, I don't remember actually at this point, but it was blocked. We couldn't get on to the on-ramp to go, which would be eastbound on Highway 2, to get on to the approach to the bridge. We were talking on the CB back and forth, and I said to one fellow, you know, I'm going to keep going north, maybe I'll go across the high bridge, or let's take a look behind us as we go, maybe the on-ramp from the southbound side will be open.
Yeah.
As it happened, we're driving by, and I mean we're driving 15, 20 miles an hour. I mean, we're really moving slow. When we looked back over our shoulder, we could see the on-ramp was open on the southbound side. So we went up to 27th Avenue, got off on the exit, thinking to just cross over to the other side of the freeway and head back. Well, there was two of us together doing that. And we were kind of hoping, and we were telling each other, I hope we don't have to stop, hope we don't meet any traffic, because like I say, if you got some momentum, a lot of times you can kind of keep going through some deep snow. But if you have to stop, you end up having problems. Well, he made it through, and I'm trying to hold back so that I'll still have momentum too. But when I got there, I met traffic, so I had to stop. And I was stuck. And I was kind of a little bit upset because I'm thinking, you know, I have been driving all day long since 5 o'clock in the morning. And here I am, just 3 miles from the warehouse, and I'm not going to be able to get home. And while I'm thinking that thought, here comes a driver in a plow truck. And I don't know if I flashed my lights at him or what. I think I probably did. And he stopped, came up to me. And he said, hey, how about we get some sand underneath your wheel tracks? You can back up. We'll back you up onto some sand. And then we'll throw more sand in front of you. So that's what we did. We took shovelfuls of his sand, threw it underneath the wheel tracks. I backed up onto that. Then he took his dump truck, backed up to me, and threw that spreader on where they spread sand. And I was able to get out of that on-ramp, off-ramp, whatever, and get up onto the bridge and turn around and go the other way. Make a long story short, got out of that one. Get down to the warehouse, and there's a road down there called Susquehanna Avenue after... It's, you know, Belknap Street is the kind of the main drag in Superior. Susquehanna was all closed off. And there were several of us trucks waiting now, trying to get back into the warehouse. While the one guy had a great big machine called a front end loader, that's what they load dump trucks with, he was out there lifting up the snow and throwing it off in the ditch.
Wow.
At a time. Took a little while to get the road cleared a little bit like that, and then he had to pull one guy with a chain through. But once we had one guy through Susquehanna Avenue on a chain, pulled by this great big loader, then the rest of us could follow through into the parking lot.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty amazing. That's normally a day where I had those three stores. If that's all I was doing, was those three stores and coming back to the warehouse. Normally I could do that in anywhere from, say, 8 to 10 hours. Well, I'd been about 16 hours by then.
That would be tiring.
Yeah, I guess it was. Well, then that wasn't really the end of the story. Then I had to drive home.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how did you get home? Weren't you driving a car?
I had a pickup truck.
That's good.
And I had it loaded with those tubes of sand. And so I was able to drive home, but very, very slow. Visibility by that time was really bad. And in fact, the wind was blowing so bad, you know, we're 2 and 53 split, and you're coming down 53 to come back home. I was down to almost a crawl. And just to keep oriented, and I don't know why this works, but I had my window open, my side window open.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were you cold?
Well, you're dressed for winter.
Yeah.
And the wind was blowing across the opposite direction of my window. So the wind wasn't blowing into my window. Because obviously it would have been closed. But yeah, that you could just barely see at that time. I was first or second gear, just kind of crawling 15 miles an hour.
Do you think Mom got nervous because you got home so late?
Yeah, I'm thinking she was, and she was more nervous than that because all you guys were little babies at that time.
Yeah.
And then our electricity went out on our house.
That would be very cold.
So after all that driving, after all that work to get back home, I get home and nobody's in my house. My wife and kids are here. So anyway, I made a phone call to some close friends that I suspected you guys were probably staying there.
So you had to drive all over there?
So then I drove over there. The other side of Lake Monegaman.
So what about your dispatcher? Did you ever say anything about this phone?
Yeah, well, it was the talk. It was the talk, because I don't know if you recall, but it was over 3 feet of snow in Duluth.
Yeah.
And so, just kind of a fun and interesting thing, everybody who went to work that day at Gateway Foods got a sweatshirt from the company for free, just as a thank you for coming to work and going through it all.
Cool. Do the sweatshirt, like, say anything on it?
Yep, storm of the century, thank you for being there, something like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's my interview, and that's the Halloween storm. Obviously, the trick-or-treaters didn't have a very fun time. But, okay, there's my interview.